I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody just got tested for COVID.
I feel so good.
Things are pretty good.
I just got one little question for you.
Will you accept this? You know what? You might want to wait till I get my test back before you ask me that question.
Oh, will you accept this rose?
And it's not because I'm living my best life. Oh, no, I'm a full mole person. My tire popped. And I went to the mechanic. That's my sexy wrist. I did have a donut on my car for 8 weeks, and that was starting to leak, so I had to go get a new tire. Hello, and welcome to Will You Accept This Rose. My name is Arda Marine, coming to you from my fancy garage in Los Angeles, California. Guys, journeymen, I'm so excited to have our guests here today. And I feel a little bit like a complete garbage person bait and switcher in that I knew the assignment sucked. I knew. Generally, when I bring somebody in, when I bring a rookie into the podcast, I'm excited for them because I actually know they're going to have fun watching The Bachelor. I can't say with any honesty that that is the case on these greatest of all time episodes because the editing and the 3-hour unnecessary time filler length coming out of Chris Harrison's Ramada Inn of his study operated by his son who hates him is truly, this is not the greatest of all time. This is really testing my patience. That being said, the podcasts have been a blast and I feel maybe they're trying to make better podcasts because we're so angry that we're like looking for a place to have a tension release valve. So yes, these are my new friends and this is my first betrayal towards them. I have tricked them. I lured them with candy, and they got trickery and shadow play and witchcraft and black magic, and that's on me. But now, at least I've owned it, and we're going to have a sacred circle where we can have a like a fight club. We could just leave it on the field. There's two gentlemen here today, and what I love both of them individually. What I love about them together is that they're best friends who are men that just wear their best because I love my friends too hard, and I feel like they openly love each other so hard. Mm-hmm. I was recently on their podcast, Las Culturistas, which is, can I just say, the greatest podcast ever. And it's really, I feel like their podcast and anything Brian Safi is on is what's getting me through this quarantine. I just throw one of them on and I walk around and I feel like everything's going to be okay. By the way, I only got COVID tested because of my flat tire. I wish it was for an exciting, sexy reason. The first gentleman You might know him. He was a writer for many years, and now he's a cast member on the television program Saturday Night Live. He also is a cast member on Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, mm-hmm. which is incredible. He is the host of Las Culturistas. I'm going to say he's a media darling. He's fucking hilarious. He's a joy. He just woke up from a nap. And he's my precious treasure from Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, Bowen Yang.
Hello. Hi, Arden.
Hi, Bowen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry I was zonked out when you were first checking in with me.
We want you as you are.
I'm so happy.
We don't need you to be anything other than how you are. That's the truth. We want
how I am is happy. Oh,
are
thank you?
That's good.
Yes.
I feel how I am right now. I feel okay right now. I'll be honest with you. I put on some lip gloss. That's feeling good. I've cut my own hair 3 times. Have you gotten a pro haircut yourself?
Not yet.
I'm not doing
yet.
It. It's not happening.
Until the vaccine?
I bought myself some high-end clippers and I got a razor. And it's starting to get a little wide, I'm not going to lie. I feel like my last one is not as exciting as I want. My last cut wasn't as much of it. I cut too much. I bobbed it.
Looks great.
Thank you so much. I was fishing. With us also, he also hosts the wonderful podcast Las Culturistas, which is a joy, and you should listen to it, and it's so fun. And they have a thing called I Don't Think So, Honey, and it's the greatest thing ever, and I might have to do one today. He is also the host of the game show on Quibi. He was a writer on the other two. He's been on Shrill. He is adorable and a GD delight. Ladies and gentlemen, American treasure, Matt Rogers.
Wow. Going into tonight, I was really excited to be on the pod. This is such a blast. I have to say, I'm thrilled and have been awake all day, wide awake, ready for this.
Oh my god, were you just slamming Bowen? And I hope you
no, it wasn't a slam. It was just really an observation on how people can go about doing days so differently. You know, a lot of people, they wake up in the morning and they sort of like survive for a few hours throughout the day, and then they'll take what's called a nap or a siesta.
I love a nap.
I sleep in very late, some would say socially unacceptable amount of time to sleep in, and then I'm awake throughout the day.
I've done both of those in my life. I've done that and a nap, and I think I was depressed in that college. What time do you wake up, Matt Rogers?
Well, here's the thing. I actually was really impressed. So after living in New York for 10 years, I find that it's impossible to wake up in the morning in New York. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Los Angeles, and something about just the L.A., like maybe it's the dryness
it's
or like
the
natural light that's happening. I will wake up naturally every day, 8 a.m. However, now, with the COVID of it all, have been sort of sleeping until like 11:30, which I hate for me. I hate that.
Oh my God, I love that for you. I find that actually, because I feel like that's what my body clock wants to do, and I drag her out of bed early. Like, no, Arden, people who like themselves get up early. And I say people who like themselves get up early, but they're tired. And then I need a nap. I given my druthers, the problem is I nap too hard, and then it screws me over at night. Bowen, how do you nap every day?
I don't nap every day. I used to nap so well. Mm. And in the last, I would say, 5 years, it's really diluted. My nap strength is diluted. And now I'm just taking like these little nothing naps that don't make me feel rested. But like supposedly, like it's the 20-minute naps that are supposed to like be the perfect length, and it's not sticking.
I'm such a master of naps that to anybody out there, and if you're listening to this at a later day, I want to say, if it's winter time and you decide to take a nap, which you should because you've earned it, nap with the lights on so you don't wake up confused, wondering, in case you sleep too hard. I don't want you to, my precious babies out there, to worry that you slept through Thursday. Just sleep with the lights on so you have some idea. With us also are a woman who should be getting a tan about now. This is the time of year. Should we go out in bikinis and go hiking and whatnot? And Anna should now be officially Tana Hosnier.
Anna, I'm not Tana, tan.
How are you? How's your tanning situation happening?
I haven't been tanning at all. I'm not classic Tana right now.
Do we need to do a Kickstarter for a tanning bed for you?
Yeah, please, please, quickly.
Are you usually like a tan queen? Because I am too.
I get very tan. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. Very tan.
It's the Greek in me.
Oh, a little God, I wish I had Mediterranean.
I just get wrinkly, burned, and freckled, and like pink. But I wish I had a little Greek. Katie Levine is also here. You guys, here we go. Let's get to it. Let's just break it down. I'm so sorry you had to watch 3 hours of Ben Higgins. Overall thoughts. Tell me, I want you to know that the show is really fun when you don't watch it in one terrible long edit with weird things of Chris Harrison's house and his son and checking it. Like, it's just all it felt like was somebody on the orchestra on the side being like, fill it, stretch it out. I feel like ABC has run out of programming and they're just stretching it out.
It really needs to be said how horrible Chris Harrison is. Like, he sucks so bad. Like, he is just so boring. He's so nothing. And I realized, I sort of vocalized last night why it's right that he's nothing. Great. Because so often the bachelors are also nothing.
They are nothing. Yeah. You're too scared of a spicy bachelor.
Right. And so Ben is, he's a handsome guy, but ultimately nothing. And so in order to, like, not detract from the fact that they have a not engaging person as the lead of the show selling the franchise, you can't have someone that's in any way going to show him up. And so that's why I think they've cast what is, like,
a total cipher.
It's completely bad. Like, he's truly wallpaper.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've actually seen wallpaper I'm more interested in than him. Like,
like Arden's.
Like
for example, Arden's and her podcast studio. That's
hi,
like,
girl.
If that podcast studio wanted to apply to host the show, I think it would actually not get the job, because clearly what I'm saying is they don't want anyone taking away from the person that's supposed to be the most interesting person in the world, and that's why they have the least interesting person in the world hosting it.
I will say I think they do pick very safe male leads.
It's the worst.
I'm going to take us through the episode and feel free. Here we are, it's 2016, and we are in, once again, in Chris Harrison's, like awful, it looks like a Ramada Inn lobby. This guy must have all the money in the world, and then he has his one book that he's written, The Perfect Letter, displayed behind him over his shoulder. I looked it up. It is out of print. It's not, you can't get a new copy.
So then why is he advertising it?
I actually bought one, and I'm curious. I have sent one. It's on its way. It's going to take a while because it's not new. So it's not, there were no prime options. You couldn't prime it to anyone. I'm sending it to Jerry Traynor, who does our podcast, who was on iCarly. He doesn't know that it's coming. Don't tell anybody who's listening. He does our podcast, and he's tortured by Chris Harrison. So at some point in his life, there'll be no note. I couldn't wrap it, but the perfect letter will be arriving at Jerry Traynor's house.
It's a novel?
He wrote a novel. It's sort of like a Nicholas Sparks book where she, like, breaks up with the guy of her dreams and then she goes back to her home. That's what Chris Harrison wrote. It's called The Perfect Letter.
There's an undertone of Christianity.
I think there has to be. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when Ben Higgins took his shirt off, he had a tattoo on his ribs. It's a scripture. He had a scripture tattoo.
Of course he did. Honestly, he is so perfectly what they were looking for in The Bachelor, and it really is. You can see in sort of the Ben Higgins Bachelor model, like, really what's where we've arrived at with, like, capitalism. It's like, this is an aspirational person. It's like a vaguely attractive, because you know what, he is attractive, but it's like sort of like who cares attractive with vague Christian imagery on there. Probably if you actually asked him what the stuff he has written on his body means, he may not be able to tell you, etc.
Have you guys ever watched the show?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you watch Survivor.
Well, Bowen, what's your experience with Batch?
I watched the Rachel Lindsay season.
Same.
But I kind of petered out towards the end.
How much did we love Peter when she did?
We love Peter.
When she actually chose Brian, she was such a great bachelorette. But then her, like, digging in the heels and choosing Brian.
I've actually developed more complicated feelings about this recently, very recently, because when you were on Las Culturistas, we did talk about how me and Bowen saw the Rachel Lindsay season, and I've realized that I actually think she made the right decision, and here's why. I'm actually going to probably shock a lot of people with this.
Wow.
But fact of the matter is, I was thinking about this. Day literal one, she was on fire for Brian.
Yes, she was on fire for him.
And this is a... And I, the reason I watched her season is because I could tell from like an interview that she did that she was smart. I wanted to support the fact that they had finally chosen a black lead.
Yes.
And not only that, but like she was smart. She's funny. She's like politically active and not afraid to say what she thinks. She's beautiful. She's engaging. I was like, I could watch her go all around the world. I want to be on her journey here as she finds this guy. And fact of the matter is, when someone is like this incredible person, I believe that she really was on fire for Brian. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I was disappointed in her because I think I sort of fell for the Peter edit because Peter is a dreamboat and a great guy. But she didn't want to. She didn't want to, like, in her bones, fuck Brian for the rest of... I mean, fuck Peter for the rest of her life, be with Peter. She wanted to be with Brian, and I believe Rachel.
I think she did in her bones want to fuck him, but I think she wanted to be with a guy that wanted her, which I get.
But here's the thing, and Bowen, tell me if you agree with this. After the fantasy suites, if it's like close between two guys and she's banged both those guys and is like, I know what I want to do, then pretty much you can have a sense of...
So it is about sex.
But she wanted him to want to propose. I think she wanted Peter. Katie, right? Like, she wanted Peter.
Yeah.
And that Peter was like, I just want to be your boyfriend. And she was like, I didn't come here to get a boyfriend.
She was like, you have to propose or I won't, like, you're not going to be it.
Yep.
And he was like, well, I only want to propose once and I really like you, but this is new and...
But the way that she says it now, and I don't think she's lying about this, because she seems to me to be like a real, like a real girl. Like she is, she says exactly what she means.
I love her.
I love her, and she's still do. And I think that she's been amazing about being so outspoken about being like, I will leave this franchise if there is not a person of color lead. We need it, it's crazy, and it's in watching this 3-hour episode, the lack of diversity is shocking. It is unacceptable.
God.
It is crazy.
Also, the sheer fact that we had, we'll get there, but the sheer fact that we had the amazing Jubilee. And that they didn't check him with Jubilee.
By far the most.
She probably was disengaged and didn't want to be checked.
I know. My only prayer is that Jubilee didn't want to be there. Like,
well,
maybe
she was on Bachelor in Paradise, so I mean, she wasn't done with the franchise immediately. But
we love Jubilee. All right, so here we go. Ben up top. He's in Indiana. He's shooting basketballs. He feels unlovable. That is the thing. Like, you've got this hot, tall guy that feels unlovable. Like, that was the perfect thing. He's been rejected. He's dated a couple of women. Yes, Bowen.
Sorry. Like, was that Ben's entire identity? Because, in the past, you have, like, the Virgin Bachelor. You have the Pilot Bachelor. Like, Ben's whole thing was he was on season 11 of Bachelorette, and he was...
He was on Caitlyn's season. She was a great bachelorette.
And
he was
Caitlyn.
On Caitlyn's season. And that's when I started. I'm only starting, I must relate to the franchise.
Yeah.
So he was in Caitlyn's season. Ben was actually our first podcast season we broke down. And he confessed to her in a moment that was very charming that he secretly believed that he was not lovable.
And that's his whole thing in his season of The Bachelor now. Like, that's,
yes, that is his main... Although that was his damage, but I didn't feel like they dragged it through. Katie, what do you say? Like, I wouldn't say they didn't really drag it through the whole thing, but that was what I think maybe got him the title.
Yeah, and then also remember he like the next season and the season after he went to Paradise and did that whole thing where he like dressed like a mariachi player and like went on the beach and was like, I'm unlovable. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, so
awful.
He like played it up after
he milked it so that he became that he went from the guy who's unlovable to the guy who said I'm in love with you to two women. It was like that. He sort of switched. But so then this season he actually had pretty fun ladies. We've got the twins, Olivia the news anchor, we had Jubilee, Kayla with her bouncy hair. So Kayla got the first date and they're both in software sales and she had like full Breck hair, and they go with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube to like a dirty, cracked old spa store in the valley with party lights. And they showed, like, the whole date. And this, it, and I was like, oh, we're in for a night. Like, this is...
Yeah.
They don't have anything to air. Matt, what did you think of the Kevin Hart Ice Cube date?
I mean, I thought it was a great excuse to get Kevin Hart and Ice Cube on the show. I mean, they certainly booked them on the show, and they definitely did it. I mean, Kevin Hart definitely farted in that tub, and it probably was the funniest thing that a lot of people that have watched the show have ever seen. So I celebrate the show for their ability to book celebrity guests. I think that I once saw I think it was another season, and they had Ashton and Mila on.
Yes.
Like that was the Rachel season.
Yeah. Was it Rachel season?
Yeah, yeah. Amy Schumer has been on. They've had Nick
Amy
Offerman.
Schumer was hilarious on the show.
Amy Schumer's great. Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally have been on.
There was a really good part of when Amy Schumer was on where the guy was like, I just don't want to, like, feel, because they were, like, writing, like, comedy stand-up bits.
Yeah.
And he was like, the guy was like, I just don't want to be, like, too smart for the audience. And Amy Schumer goes, I'm going to stop you right there. You're not. You, don't worry about that. You are not.
Yes. Well, I feel like there's, like, weird super fans of the show. Yeah. We see the crazy twins clogging. The sheer fact that they cast identical hot twins from Vegas. The twins were a real casting find. I mean,
yeah.
I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder if there's a world where they would have been okay with him picking both of them.
I mean, you kind of get the feeling watching this that they've been in Vegas and, like, I don't know, Anna, what do you think? That there's, like, that you kind of feel that they've been sold as, like, this package in Vegas in the past.
The toll twins thing, I can't really wrap my mind around. It's so inappropriate to put people in the situation where you have to pick one girl who looks exactly like another girl. Like, there's something so dark about that that I can't. And then they're also, like, performers where they perform as twins, like when they were like, hello, nice to meet you, at the same time, that's not
I mean
okay.
They clog together, so it's like it's not even just like twins, it's like weird, like, yeah. Sort of this they essentially cast the same person.
Yes,
it's weird. They're weird. And in Paradise, I remember watching one of them, I remember watching them get each other ready for a date, and they had like tanner wipes, like self-tanner wipes. And I remember watching one of them put, like, down the asshole, like, of the other one, like, wiping into the ass crack. Like, do you remember that, Katie?
Oh,
do you remember
no.
that?
Yeah. I remember it. I could never forget something like that.
Yeah, like, I have a sibling. I can't imagine my brother ever, like,
no.
wiping my ass crack with tanner.
No, but did they get sent home at the same on the same day?
No, one
See,
of them.
Yeah, that's what confused me.
It's,
yeah.
The whole thing is so crazy. Then we have a little. So then they're like, okay. I really feel like ABC's trying to be woke, and they're like, remember we had Jubilee? Like, didn't get her back, but like, she was so great. She was so beautiful. She's an Army veteran. She was cool, and she was like, I have trouble talking around you sometimes. She's obsessed with hot dogs. And that she was, her entire family had died. And like, she said that she worried that she wasn't lovable. She was adopted. She was in an orphanage, and she was the only surviving person of her family. And I just loved her. I wish she was the Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. I would like to know how, like, were you surprised that they didn't cut to her, Anna? Like, I was waiting for a check-in with Jubilee.
I feel like Jubilee has turned away from this franchise after her turn in Paradise.
What
where
happened?
They
I
didn't even
she was
remember,
cut right away,
or like she just left and they didn't explain why she left. Maybe that was the second time she went back, but she just was like, at one point they're like, Jubilee and Venmo John didn't work out, Jubilee left, and we're all like, what? And then it was like, gone, don't worry about it.
That's right. I forgot that she was with Venmo John for a second.
Venmo
there
guy, John.
There was a guy named John who worked at Venmo.
And he's one of the founding
Venmo
members.
Venmo, yeah. That's the classy name, Venmo John.
I love that. I feel like Jubilee, honestly, was probably approached to do a check-in. And she was like, if you think that right now I am coming on Bachelor, your three-hour Bachelor corporate-ass garbage to, like, talk about the ways in which I think that she probably is incredibly smart and like has moved on from this.
Yes, she.
And I bet they filmed this months ago. I guarantee you they.
Because Kayla says that she's been engaged since January, and it's been a few months.
I think they filmed this. I think these were all filmed in one weird weekend with Chris Harrison and his son. I think they banged this out when they're like, okay, shit, Claire's not going to get to. Okay, let's do it in April. Like, I think they banged it all out in one weekend well before anything went down with any, like, you know, George
Floyd. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, her viewpoint on the franchise is similar to Rachel's, which is like, what the hell? I think that if she was not asked to be the Bachelorette, that's a mistake, because she very clearly is the most engaging, most unique, followable person that they depicted last night in this show.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she kind of feels like, hindsight being 2020, maybe she's still a fan of the show. I know she like still watches it and tweets about it, but she's got a private Instagram.
Interesting.
Yeah, she has really disappeared from like public life.
Good for her.
Yeah, but she is, I think, like anyone else in the world who has a brain, like I've read, is really like sort of galvanized and like really is working hard right now in this cultural moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if like maybe they did check in with her and she was like, I don't want to be used, like, or something like that, because it was odd that they did not follow up with her, and they did follow up with like Lace.
I know. I do think this all happened before. I do think this, any of this happened before, but like, I bet they would have begged Jubilee as they should.
Oh, sure.
They should have, she would be the most interesting Bachelorette. Like,
think about hometowns. Like,
oh my God.
It would just be like, it would be like so a study emotional. On grief. It would be a study on like,
yes,
like resilience and shit.
And she's so hot, and she's a veteran.
Yeah, she's like, she's like a like black woman. She's a veteran. She's interesting. She has a dynamic past. But the fact of the matter is, like, and Rachel talks about this a little bit too. Like, did you know there was a ratings dip when Rachel was the Bachelorette?
Yes,
it's so fucked up, because she's so obviously the best Bachelorette, but there was a ratings dip because the viewing audience is racist, and I think that they just don't. There's a lot. So I think that the way you do that is like, you have to get this viewing audience used to seeing a more diverse cast. And that's not something they've done until recently, because you look at this cast and you're like, no wonder they're shocked when you have a black lead. You haven't like, haven't had any black cast members.
And you also like, I know. And there's actually, we've been talking about this every week, but there's a great Instagram account called Batch Diversity that has a petition going that I think helped get the first Black Bachelor cast, but they're also petitioning to have 35% representation of, like, a diverse cast. They want people behind the scenes. They want to be equitable screen time. So even if the cast is, like, they want fair, equal screen time.
Right.
They want, mental health resources to help support, people that go on and have to help deal with the... Because it's like an unusual situation. So go to Batch Diversity and sign the petition and post about it.
Well, think about also like what Jubilee had to deal with in the house, being the only black woman there in the house with all these women. Yeah. That's another thing. It's not even just about like on-camera representation. It's about the experience she must have had.
I think there was like two other, wasn't Jamie, there was like two other African-American women there, maybe.
That's
were there?
Season,
they didn't show
yes.
them.
There was one girl who... didn't like Olivia.
Jamie.
And I don't remember, unfortunately. They don't show them, so you don't know.
If I recall, she came in and... am I crazy? And I feel like there was two women, but... yeah, I can't even imagine. And what's interesting is, like... Paradise has actually gotten much more, like... I feel like Paradise looks more like the rest of the world a little bit, like, because... Yeah. But...
Paradise looks like the rest of the world.
Yeah, it really does, guys. A little bit. It's getting better. Okay, so then we have... they go to the pig island. I remember this group date. And there was this pig swimming, and then the pigs just start attacking all the women. The pigs were, like, attacking JoJo. And I remember this was, like, a disaster of a group date, which I very much enjoyed. And then we get the beauty... I have to say, Lace was an incredible
character. Because what was funny was you thought Lace was going to be the villain. And then Olivia ended up being the villain. But Lace came out hard and was so fun as a villain because she just was hammered, like, from the get-go. And her eyes are closed. She's like, ooh, close your eyes. Like, I want the first kiss. Ooh. You know, and he's like, well, you got it, you know. Yeah. And then she's like, I just want Ben to want me. Do you even notice me? Do you even know that I'm – you didn't even look at me. Can I talk to you for a second? It was so fun to watch. Like, I felt like my drunk aunt at Thanksgiving, but, like, who was hot and, like, a real estate agent from Denver who was, like, trying to corner Ben Higgins. And she's so hot, but then, like, clearly his hands were full. Did you enjoy Lace? Matt Rogers.
Did I enjoy Lace? Yeah, yes. I identify with someone being like, hi, you didn't look at me. I get her.
Me too.
I also ultimately felt really sad for her.
Yes.
Because her realization that she is, like, not well completely, I think. And also, I think that probably she came off weird to the audience, but I don't know, like, knowing what I know about the way it's produced and everything, I think that she was genuinely coming to the realization that, like, I need to step away from this because it's not good for me and probably good for people watching this to see me like this. I don't like the message it's sending. I don't like this psychologically, what it's doing to me, and I need to remove myself. And even though I might look crazy in the moment doing this, it's better I do this now than I continue to spiral because I need help.
She's the only character that's been on it that had the wherewithal to actually pull herself out of, like, by the scruff of the neck. Like, she actually had enough wherewithal pretty early on because she made a high impact, low episodes. Like, she pretty early on made a big impression and was the only person I've ever seen who was like, you know what? This probably isn't for the best of everybody. Like, as my tattoo says, if you can't love yourself, ain't nobody gonna love you. Like, it's like, you know, she's like the, and, but it was just amazing. It was like, we have eye contact glory. We're eye fucking. These bitches can suck it. And then she's like, I was very dorky. Can I tell you a picture, Bowen? Let me tell you a picture. I was very dorky looking when I was a kid. I had two sets of bangs. I looked like Rosanna, Rosanna, Dana. And then she starts crying. She's like, I ruined my chance. And this was not the Lace I promised myself I would be. The bad Lace came out, and I just thought. And then she was mad at herself, and it was. And then we saw her today. Bowen Yang, how did you feel about seeing the present day Lace?
I was happy to see present day Lace. The ring light against her makeup on her face did her no favors. It was a different tone from her neck and her shoulders.
Yes.
But she seems remarkably, she seems really well adjusted now, though.
Yes.
I really do. I see, I feel like she's like a best case scenario what happens to a reality show person who kind of makes a fool of themselves and then has like, and then, yeah, I mean, it speaks to like her self-awareness and her like agency to like, first of all, pull away from the show in the moment. Yes. And then second of all, to like come back to it years later and be like, yeah, like I'm not even like that. That's not who I am. And I've changed. It was kind of cool. I enjoyed the Lace check-in.
Anna, were you jamming on Lace?
Man, Lace is such an interesting character to me. Because did you also notice she denied that's what her tattoo said at the end of her?
Yeah.
She was like, that's not what it says.
You quoted your own tattoo. And she was also kind of like Shaded Harrison. She was like, that's not what it says. I was like, but you just said as my tattoo says.
We're just going off the info you gave us.
Yeah.
Also, what you guys don't know is she went on to Paradise and was engaged to the guy Grant. And Grant turned out to be an interesting character. Yeah, they got a Grace tattoo, Grant Lace. That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then Grant and her broke up, and Grant went on Bachelor in Paradise Australia
and then
hooked up with this girl, Allie, this Australian girl, Allie, but then ended up breaking up with Allie after he walked in on her on a night where they'd been drinking in L.A., getting eaten out in his stairway by his friend.
He walked in on her. She wouldn't kiss anyone, and then she came to LA to visit. And then allegedly he found her like getting eaten out in the stairway and then told everyone. He told everyone.
They went on a podcast. He went on a podcast and told everyone.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's why they broke up. And then she became the Bachelorette.
Yeah, she became Bachelorette Australia.
And then
I love that though.
It's the best.
I love that she became the Bachelorette, though, because I think that that is the kind of person I would like to see on television more. Is like, no, I'm not kissing you. Eat my pussy. Like, that's the kind of shit that I want.
I think we could benefit from that type of lead
more than, like, the Ben Higginses of the world.
The women are more like that. I feel like the guys are so vanilla, and I find that the female leads are more fun. Like, they're a little more... They got more excitement. The guys are the only sexy guy they had turned out to be such a piece of shit, Juan Pablo.
You think he was the sexiest one?
I think at first he was the only one that had any game, and then like he was the only one that had any sex appeal, but then he turned out to be such a dirtball.
I don't know why I'm so attracted to Nick Vial.
Okay.
I am.
I enjoy Nick Vial. He's a lovely guy. He's a friend of the podcast. I'm going to say I didn't think he was a great bachelor. Because I think he'd been through the machine. He'd seen behind the curtain so many times.
No, you saw the light leave his eyes after a while.
Yeah, he was checked out.
He was like a road hard and put away wet.
Have you met him? He's very hot in person.
No, I've never met him, but I welcome the opportunity.
We think he has BDE. He's got big dick energy.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone that Rachel thought she was in love with, I'm in love with.
Yeah. Who would you pick? Brian with his cheekbones and his mom, Peter with a salty hair and his teeth gap, or Nick Vial and his BDE?
Honestly, I think that, like, it's a scary answer. Like, I think I might be down for Brian the most because I think he's got, like, the most sexy energy. But honestly,
he's very Long Island. Brian's very Long Island.
That's the thing is it's a thing intrinsic in me. Like that's sort of like what is his last name? Abasolo.
Yeah,
like,
he's Dr. Abs.
He was
he's
a Cuban
like a chiropractor.
Yeah,
but he has like a mug that says Dr. Abs. It's just like his
torso. Thing about him though is chiropractors are not doctors. But it's funny that he calls himself a doctor.
Dr. Abs.
But Dr. Abs, I love. The thing is, I actually out of the four that were Rachel's top four, my favorite was. It would be between Dean and Eric.
I like Dean a lot.
Dean.
Yeah. Dean is hot.
Dean is so hot. Okay, well, let's talk about that. So Dean comes back, and we see Dean and Kaylin, and they're, like, in the van. And I have to tell you, we've met Dean. He is so fucking hot.
Yeah, he's hot.
Like, you see where he needed to put that ring on because – and it's not going to stop people – like, his eyes, he's really tall. Can we just start with the fact that he's tall? He's a tall guy. His eyes are so mesmerizing, and he's got a little twinkle in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And do you remember from her season, he's got that terrible dad, is the heartbreaking story where his mom died.
His dad was like a Sikh, right? Like, he kind of left the family to become a Sikh.
His dad became a Sikh after his mom died, mm-hmm. And then, like, I remember they had them at, like, the yurt, and they were, like, feeding, like, Nick Vial mung beans. No, it was Rachel. It was Rachel.
And they laid on the floor, and she told him that she loved him.
She told us she was in love with him.
Eesh.
So we met him right after that, before Paradise, and it was literally, we did Outside Lands, and we were concerned because we were the earliest show of the entire Outside Lands Festival of any. It was a broad daylight, you know, and like competing against like a musical act. Like, and so we were like, no one's, and tickets are expensive. We're like, literally no one is going to come. It's like it's 8 a.m. It was so crowded because of Dean. I truly believe it was as if it was like. Robert Pattinson at the height of Twilight. Anna had to go get him and walk him through the crowd.
It took me 45 minutes to walk him to our tent because so many girls would be like,
and I'd be like,
we gotta keep going. We gotta keep going. Yeah.
Because
was he smart?
He seems smart. Yeah. No. You didn't think really so? Smart. I don't know. I thought he was fine.
This was my pull in watching his interview with his now fiance or whatever is happening. It's like he has stumbled upon like this idea that you don't have to get married to wear a ring or be committed, and you could tell this was like something that he had worked for years to arrive at, and I'm like, this is like not that intellectual of a place to arrive.
No.
But she had treated it like it was this thing, like this major breakthrough he had made, and I was like, cool, dude, you have a girlfriend. But they spent like truly so long last night explaining that they wear rings and are committed to each other but are not not getting married. It was just like, do we need any more time understanding they're not going to get married? Okay, he doesn't want to marry this girl.
He felt a little bit like his dad. Yes. Talking about like wanting to not get the government involved. It felt a little like libertarian seed bank in that like side of a mountain in like Idaho. There was a little seed bank quality of like the government's not going to. I'm not going to let the man know who's legally married to me.
The way Kaylin said, we don't have to get the government involved, screamed libertarian. I was like, oh, this is
bad. And it's like,
she was a beauty pageant queen.
She was the beauty queen.
Honey, you want that wedding.
Now she has, like, Instagram face, so, like, fully, like, cheekbones, lips, cat face. Like,
can we talk about the Instagram face, and we can get there a little, like, there was a text thread happening last night. They all get it. Although JoJo's pretty much stayed JoJo for the, but like
I like JoJo.
JoJo,
I love JoJo. Lauren's face, Lauren's new face, like the girl that we saw last night who fell for Ben Higgins, and then the present day Lauren. It's literally like two completely. Let me see if I can hold up a photo. This is like her. This was her like a week ago. This is Lauren a week ago.
No,
yeah, it's not the same young woman. It's not the.
That's a complete different human.
The jawline is sawed down for filth.
The jawline, the new teeth, I think a nose job, maybe cheekbones?
We should say it's the patriarchy that did this to her. And that
Katie's holding up a before and after. Yeah, that's rough.
I mean, they don't look the same. But the fact of the matter is, like, regardless of like what she's looking like now, I could not believe that she was the one that he picked.
Okay. What is her deal? Like, what is interesting about her? Tell us. Like,
okay.
Matt and I are truly stumped.
Literally, I think the side of him that thought he wasn't lovable, this is my armchair psychologist. I think the side of him that thought he wasn't lovable, for whatever reason, she reminded him of the dream girls in high school that he couldn't get. Like, were kind of like, and I think it was, I can't believe she's with me. For whatever reason, like his high school brain, this is my armchair psychologist of like, she's the virgin. Maybe she looked like the girl. And, like, I think she was the prom queen. Mm-hmm. And even though JoJo is a stunner and cool, I think she's also kind of wifey. She felt a little bit like wifey material.
Trophy.
I don't think he wanted anything, like, threatening or.
He didn't want the interesting one.
No. No, JoJo was great. Okay, before we get to that, then we have. Olivia, before we get to Olivia, we'll take a little quick break. It's time to get sexy.
Oh, yeah.
I need a sexual timeout.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest.
It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back. Okay, so Olivia comes back. Olivia, we find, she was a fun villain. She really was an interesting one because usually if somebody gets the first impression rose, they make it pretty far. Mm-hmm. And they've also said historically with the females, when there's a bachelorette, whoever they give their first impression
is
rose
who they
to
pick.
Is who they end up picking, mm-hmm. which was Brian, Dr.
Yep.
Apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Olivia got the first impression rose, and she was. She was a news anchor. She was beautiful. She was
beautiful
confident.
Beautiful girl, yeah.
But she was a little crazy with the other gals, and she did have a face she would make that was like she got a little, the competition got the best of her. She was like sort of hissed. It was like a devil eye. Like, she got a little much, but this was where we really saw how mean the franchise could be.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the gals being mean about her cankles. Like, they were talking about her ankles, and, like, they were so mean. I think mostly because she kept getting the roses. Like, I think.
Yeah, they were
and
jealous.
And she was very competitive. And this poor gal, and then when she jumped out of the cake, it's like, okay, well, that's awkward. And if you're not a dancer, like, it wasn't that bad. She's still
I felt really
figure.
Bad when she
like,
broke down after that because that was, like, about more than.
Yeah.
Clearly, like, yeah. They made her do that. She felt self-conscious. She tried to have fun with it, didn't, thought that she looked stupid. All the women were probably, look, you know, that probably was a much thicker experience than we
think. I think because she's also been so, she was all, like, bravado. She was super confident. And I think watching that, it reminded me of, like, a terrible stand-up show I had once at, like, a showcase for, like, Warner Brothers. You know what I mean? Where,
yeah.
Where we, like, you know... Where, like, the and I remember, like, the other comics, like, couldn't look me in the eye. You know, this was like 12 years ago. But, like,
she bombed for the first time.
She bombed.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she bombed. And you know, you ate shit, and everyone knows you ate shit.
Yeah.
It's a terrible. Have you, I mean,
it
bombing.
Sucks. It sucks.
Bombing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've bombed when it's really counted. And
me too. How do you shake that? Like, when you've bombed when it's counted, like, it's one of the worst feelings in the world. It's like, there's certain environments, like, there's certain things I still think of that it's like, I just want to take a shame shower. I just want to, like, yeah. Wash it off.
Well, that's like, what you act crazy. When you're not someone who bombs and then you bomb, you act crazy afterwards because you're like, but you guys know, right? I mean, come on, that was like, and that's, I think, where she went, where it's like, that's why she went over to him and was like, I want to start over. And he was like, kind of like, what? Because I would imagine that was not necessarily as bad in his eyes as it was in her head. So I think that she, and also remember, they're doing this for months. The other women in the house don't like her. The only people she's got to talk to are the producers.
Right.
So it's like. And they want her to go crazy.
Yeah.
And so I feel really bad for her because I could identify what she was doing.
Ugh.
And also the fact of the matter is, like, when they were saying the whole time, like, the way that Chris Harrison was saying the whole time in the episode, and of course, Olivia. It was like she was a serial killer or something.
I know.
And then they got to her and I'm like, oh, what's this girl's big thing? Like, she's like, winning and the other girls don't like her and she's kind of annoying. Like,
they
she's
didn't
not
edit
evil.
In they, I think because they didn't want to look too much like the bullies that they are, like, even though they did kind of bully, like, they, I felt like they did kind of like, oh, hey, how are you, Olivia? Like, it was still checking
it was clear they felt really bad.
Yeah.
They had edited her. I mean, she was a person who, even though it was, which is interesting because she made her career on camera, but who had no awareness of.
Right.
She was so thirsty for him and so extra that she would literally be like, and to watch somebody be like top dog, but like not be able to roll.
It felt like punching down, annoying. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But they, can I just say, they also did really. Like, if I went through what she went through, I would have such like horrible body dysmorphia, because they would fuck with her and be like, well, the other girls would be like, well, she doesn't eat anything. That's why her breath smells so bad.
Right.
And like being like, that's why Ben keeps trying to feed her mint. Like it's like all this fucked up stuff where it's like, what?
They were, she was didn't such need a to be included. They just did anything they could. And then this poor young lady who looked so cute in Austin. I loved her haircut. I felt she seemed to have, it was the underbelly of seeing the amount of therapy and like not just like heartache, like JoJo, like, oh, I didn't get picked, but like I got beat up by America and these
humiliated
ladies.
And then left on a beach as a helicopter drove away. Like, it was so much.
That 2-on-1 by the blowhole, that like that island. It was on a 2-on-1 and he picked one of the twins, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, you could tell that once the check-in started and she's like, I'm so nervous, I'm shaking. It's like, oh, this is a trauma. Like, this is traumatic.
She's having PTSD.
Oh, like, she sure has PTSD.
Yeah.
And then when having they had to Ben go come see back Captain... to apologize, I actually felt that he...
Oh.
Well, there's a part of him that wants to run for office. I actually felt that he was classy. Like, I felt that he did the right thing apologizing.
Yeah.
But...
He wasn't addressing her, though. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He was addressing the audience and not her the entire time. He was like, guys, come on. Like, go easy on Lace. This woman is amazing. It's like, you're not talking to her.
Right.
And also, like, it's not us that needs to chill. Like, I mean, yes, there are fans that are abusive to her, but it's like, you were a part of this situation.
Right.
You are the person that's in a power position here, and you're the one who, in the television show we're watching, has been introduced to apologize, so you apologize.
Yeah, it also felt
a
little bit...
He did.
What's been interesting is all these people, including the leads, are like, oh, I can't believe you're airing. Like, nobody seems excited to have their season air. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Everyone wants to forget about it.
Everybody wants to forget about it. So then we have... all right, so that was the blowhole and the wind, and she was shaking. Poor Olivia.
It was actually funny because we were watching it, and my boyfriend was sitting next to me, while she was talking and doing the check in, he was like, "I love her."
I know.
And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I like her too." And then I looked over at the end of her interview, and I peeked over my boyfriend. My boyfriend is very funny.
Yeah,
he just like the way he behaves and is in the world. I looked over his shoulder and he was following her on Instagram.
Oh. I mean, she was like a beautiful kind of cool.
Yeah.
I love that she also has a podcast called Mouthing Off where she reaches out to other villains. There's a villain support group.
That's a really cool idea for a podcast.
I get it. Yeah.
Has anybody listened to that? Has anyone listened to that?
I browsed the episodes, and she doesn't do just Bachelor people. She does, like, 90 Day Fiancé villains.
So it's a whole podcast of villains?
Of, like, romance reality show villains.
That's fun. That's a fun idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
I think she came out a lot. I mean, because I remember reading that she was, like, suicidal afterwards and came a long way.
I'm not surprised. You feel worthless in front of everyone, and you know that people were in her DMs telling her to kill herself.
Like, and I kind of hate that. Chris Harrison was all he was like, well, I'm really sorry about that. It's like, are you kidding? You're sorry?
Also,
like, you guys
really
ruined her. Yes, exactly.
But you also wonder, like, okay, so she was clearly like presentable enough, like a put together and smart enough to be like a reporter, you know? Like, was that were her whole chances? I feel like once people enter into this franchise, everyone gives up any career they had before. Like, it's just immediately like, take your career out of your pocket, leave it in the bag at the door. You'll never see that again. You're going to become an influencer.
That's like, interesting.
It's like,
yeah, my boyfriend brought that up. He was like, I feel like this is going to ruin their lives. And he was like, I hate this show. This is so mean. This is the worst thing ever. And I looked at him and I was like, Jared, they're getting what they wanted out of this, which is to become a social media influencer.
Yeah.
Like, but also at the same time, like, I think that a lot of the people that they get to get on this show really do believe in the fairy tale of it, and that's sad.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it works. You need to come when it's a normal thing and not a horrible time goblin just eating your money. Like you're just talking.
Well, I've seen a whole season. I've seen the Rachel season, which was like, you know, I think a great representation of the show.
Did you like it?
I loved the most of the season, and then on the last episode. I thought she kind of lost it for me in the last two episodes when she told Dean that she loved him. I thought that was a little fucked up.
Yeah.
And when she clearly was just feeling bad and maybe in her feelings, but also can't expect her to be perfect all the time. And then when she didn't pick Peter, I was upset because
me too.
I didn't understand why she went. If she was just going to pick Brian, why did she need to weep her eyelashes off with him in the hall with Peter in the hallway and like beg him to stay and like beg him whatever and then say, just kidding, I was going to pick Brian the whole time. So the hypocrisy of that. Yeah. I didn't like, but ultimately the season I loved.
I guarantee you the Matt James season is going to be fantastic.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Because we don't know anything about Matt James, right?
I actually think that's great. Like, I think there's a beauty of a reset of the, because they used to do that. They used to go find eligible people and bring them in.
Yeah, someone new. Yeah.
I think it's good to press reset on the franchise. Somebody outside, he's best friends with one of the most beloved contestants there ever was, Tyler Cameron, who was so adorable, who's a nice guy, who loved his mom. Like, he's a stand-up guy, and they're best friends.
Cool.
Anyway, okay, so here we are. We're at the Fantasy Suites. There's three women. Oh, there was also Amanda. Amanda was a single mom. She made it to hometown.
Yes.
And
the kids.
And she's got two little kids. I mean, Amanda was very popular. She did a lot of rounds on this franchise. It was interesting. She was so cute. It was like to be fair to Amanda, I think she had two little kids and her husband dumped her. Like, I think she got left high and dry.
Oh. Her kids were 3 and 2.
Yeah, and he just left. So, brutal. So, it's...
She left those kids, too, for 3 months to go do The Bachelor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That she did do that. It's definitely... It's hard because, like, you can see where Ben says he's not scared, and he goes to go meet. And I remember when he went to go meet them, like the whole episode, they were like crying and in like a minivan. You could see the terror, the water, like the Titanic water rising of just like panic. I'm always conflicted when there's like little people involved and that they meet them on the show. That's hard.
Yeah, that's another thing Jared said. He was like, I cannot believe that she is putting these kids through this.
I know,
and I was like, yeah, but she really believes that. Like,
I know.
She obviously wants like a father figure for them, and I think she's just going about it in an odd way. And the kids were adorable. And I said to him, I'm like, they're not going to remember this.
That's the thing. They were little enough in some ways because we've seen other. There was another really cute mom that was on Juan Pablo's season. And her son, Ben, was a little older. But he was a dad, too. It's hard. But your only hope is that these little girls don't remember. They were little enough that they may not.
He's just going to be a cool guy they played with one time in their camera.
At the beach.
Not, in the back of their mind. They're not going
to
remember
it. It's hard to watch. So you're like, oh, God. Okay, so she gets cut. And then we have Kayla with the bouncy hair. And he calls her a sex panther. We learned last week that Ben Higgins was a sex ed minor in college, which is insane.
Which means he's bad in bed.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that for?
A sex ed minor.
Oh.
Kayla's whole thing, she's a tigress. She's a sex panther. She can't express herself. She's crying to her friends that she's having a hard time opening up. And I remember loving her mom when we went to hometowns. I remember her mom.
Her mom was cool. Her mom was like, Asian queen.
She was. She was a queen, Asian queen. She was like, she goes, well, honey, if you really love him, you better run downstairs and jump on him and tell him that you love him. I remember being like, I loved her mom.
Yeah. I love any parent figure that's like real.
Yeah. She fully had adult braces. She was super cool. She was like, go get at it.
Yeah.
And she was fun.
Yeah.
Loved her.
She was an Asian queen.
She was an Asian queen. I loved her. So then we have her crying. She's ready to get married. She's ready to be his wife. Like, he cuts her. And I remember, like, I remember they were at Jamaica Sandals. Isn't that right, yeah. Katie? Wasn't this all at Sandals, Jamaica?
Yeah, like, those last three episodes were all in Sandals, Jamaica.
Okay, which actually looks strangely nice, which was confusing.
It looks nice.
And I'm going to tell Bowen, and Matt something that we're going to cut out. Okay, we're back.
We're back, but we just spoke about Fantasy Suite rumors.
Yes,
but,
yes.
This is the thing I want to say about the Fantasy Suite, though. That is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, like, the viewing audience has to understand, like, you're watching this and watching this and watching this, but what happens behind closed doors that we don't see, we just have to accept as a huge narrative hole. Because, A, it's like you are going to act like a different person when the cameras aren't there, and B, like, how you physically and sexually, emotionally in that way open up to someone and connect to someone is huge. So I'm not surprised at all to hear that the results of that closed-door experience weigh in heavily.
I think particularly on The Bachelor, the burden is on the ladies. I fear that, like, to put on the show of your life, like, but it not too much of it. Like, you still want to be, like, wifey material because these are nice, like, Christian boys and, like...
Well, you've heard about what happened with Rachel and Nick, right?
No.
Okay, so this is on the record, so this is real.
Okay, great.
But Rachel Lindsay was a contestant and had gotten a Fantasy Suite date and was going to go the day after the 2016 election. So she was in a bar the night before her Fantasy Suite date watching the election.
No.
And got trashed because Trump won.
No.
And was devastated. So the next day was the Fantasy Suite date. So if you watch her Fantasy Suite date, she kind of seems like very, like, dropped in and, like, sleepy and a little out of it.
No.
Because she was hungover.
No.
Then she says that they went to the Fantasy Suite, her and Nick, and she pretty much passed out right away. And they hadn't gotten a chance to really talk. They definitely didn't have sex. And she kind of knew anyway that he was going to pick Vanessa. So the next day, like, when she gets cut, she was, like, upset because she didn't win. But you can kind of see when she gets cut, she's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Fantasy Suite, like, behind-the-scenes stories is apparently Rachel on hers had a list of questions to ask the guys. Remember this?
Oh.
Of, like, do you have debt? Like, just a bunch, like, what is your thought on this? What is your thought on that? And, like, asking them about, like, actually, like, how they are. Because, I mean, if you're going to marry someone, if you're going to get engaged, like, what if you get engaged to someone and they go, oh, well, I'm $500,000 in debt. And you're just like, oh, my fucking God. You know? Like, yeah.
Well, also, like, you need to be asking about what they believe politically.
Exactly.
Because you're, like, not allowed to talk about it on the air.
Yeah.
And they, like, because their producers aren't going to use it and it's wasting time. So you better believe the second that door is closed...
Yeah.
One of my questions is, like, hi, what's the tea on, like, your political beliefs? Because because you know that happened to Becca, who chose Garrett, who ended up being, like, fucking alt-right.
Still with him.
I mean,
still posting, like, thin blue line.
I feel like someone told us that was one of the questions, is she asked, like, who'd you vote for and stuff like that.
Good.
Also in Bachelorette New Zealand, because we gotta watch every country's Bachelorette franchise.
We watch all of them. They're on our Patreon. If you guys want to watch, we're watching New Zealand.
Please.
It's great.
But that one, like, they'll be like, are you an anti-vaxxer? Like, on the show. Because, I mean, in New Zealand's
the guy
next level.
He's crazy, though, that guy.
He can't stop bringing up
being an anti-vaxxer.
It's really
important. Yes, because I would hate to end up with a guy and he's like, we're not vaccinating our kids, okay? I would be like, no.
I know, they do talk more real stuff.
Yeah, they talk about climate change.
They're actually seeing if you're compatible.
Yeah.
So we caught up with Kayla and where she is. And she was doing the equivalent of, I'm living my best life. Like, I moved to New York. I became a fashion blogger. It's really important work. and you're like, a lifestyle blogger. I became a lifestyle blogger.
She did call it important work.
It's really important work. And I'm like, is it? Like... And that's the thing, like, and then she got engaged to this guy.
Hot guy, though.
He was hot. He seemed nice.
Yeah, he did seem nice.
He's fine.
I mean, whatever.
But she got what she wanted with what Matt was saying earlier. Yeah. Like, she wasn't going to sell software for the rest of her life.
No.
Like, now she's probably genuinely happy, like, blogging about
yeah,
stuff.
She lives in New York. She has a, like, husband. She, like, gets to talk about stuff that she wants to talk about. She probably has a loyal following because she came off really well on the show.
She great probably job, gets A+. Free shit. I bet she gets free shit.
Oh, yeah, well, up the butt, yeah.
Okay, before we get to Lauren B. and JoJo, we're going to take one more break.
What is your fantasy?
You.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, everybody. All right. So we're doing Lauren B. So we're down to the final two. Lauren B. He said this, and this to answer your question, Bowen, I feel like a little schoolboy trying to chase after his crush. That to me, he couldn't believe he got her for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. She, I think partially because she's a little dull. So there was like, I think sometimes when like I've done this where somebody who was dull, I kept thinking, oh, they're just shy. And so you
project onto
them. You fabricate them. And I think he made her the girl he couldn't get. And the guy inside of him that, like, thought he wasn't lovable, I think this was it. Like, I'm going to feel okay. So I remember them releasing this little turtles, which was so fucking cute. And, like, it's funny hearing her talking now about herself then. Like, I feel that she's like, I like the simple things. Like, my daddy's obsessed with his yard. And, like
what was that conversation?
Oh, my God. And they were so basic. And this hearing. And, like, so we took her on a drive. And the Z Hotel used to be a movie theater. And it's where he got his first kiss. And he didn't know how to make the move, and he recreated it. And then she's like, and I remember them doing this a lot, like, I think you're my person.
That was so cringe.
I can't. She's like, I'm in love with Ben, not Ben the Bachelor. I'm in love with Ben from Warsaw, Indiana. I love Ben. I'm completely in love with you. And I remember, like, being happy for him. And then we watched, there was like a show after this, like, of them as newlyweds, and she hated him so fucking much. And she wanted, like, I think she was so disappointed by the reality of like a small house in Denver and not being like Like, remember that, Katie? Yeah, like, she fucking hated him.
Do you remember there was an entire episode? We watched this whole fucking thing because
it was terrible. It was terrible.
But there was a whole episode where he wanted to use an old garage door as a headboard. Yeah. From, like, his first house, and the whole episode was about how she was just, like, absolutely
not. She was
not.
Like, no fucking way. And then she really, ABC had offered for them to get married on TV, and, like, she really wanted to. And he was like, I don't really, even though now he's kind of, like, fully in on the franchise. I'm like, it's just interesting how, like, she wanted the cameras rolling. She wanted the helicopter. She married a country star. Like, but just seeing the beginning of this, it's like, I just like Ben from Indiana. I like simple things.
It was weird because, like, the conversations that they would have were so cringe. And then when he would talk to JoJo or hang out with JoJo, or, like, that moment when she made him come into the bathroom with her and, like, have a real conversation with her, I was like, it seems like you have some real rapport with this girl. Yeah. And she seems to be the one that is... actually, something is happening between you and her. And when he dumped her, you could see in his eyes, like, he knew he had made a huge mistake.
I mean,
I think immediately it was terror.
Oh, watching their date, their Wrigley Field date was so cute.
Yeah, they were
watching
adorable.
Her do their little, like, flip book of, like, her being a house flipper and, like, trying to tell her, like, they were so cute together, and that she was such a... And just even their chemistry, like them in under the waterfall, them making out, like when she
I said, like when she came in with the horse's head on her head, I was like, I like her, she's stupid.
Yeah, the unicorn. She had a little pepper in her pot.
Yeah, she was like stupid in a fun way that I connect with.
Me too. And
I would wear a horse's head on my head and be like, nay. Anyway, see you later.
And then, like, she did it. And, like, when she said, I've been trying to not say this, but, like, I was falling in love with you, and now I can actually say I am in love with you. And he goes, JoJo, I love you too. And the look on her little face when she says, what? You do? It was so cute. It was
very
so
unbelievable.
Hopeful. And then finding out, like, it was fun. She was very honest, I feel like, in her interview, because I feel like a lot of these people now, after the fact, are now with somebody else, and they're so weird about it, like, getting interviewed. They're like, no, I mean, it's fine. Like, and I feel, I feel like she was, like, when she had the next date with him, and he said he was conflicted, and she found out that he'd also said it to... This was Lauren. The big controversy. He said he's the first one to say I'm in love with you to two women.
To two people.
And that she felt like she'd been cheated on. I don't blame her.
Me neither.
Ugh, I felt so badly.
I mean, you can't... Here's the thing. It's like, when I was watching it, I was like, so there's a world where, you know, all these women are in the house together.
Yeah.
This whole time. So they really know each other better than they know him.
Yes.
Yeah. When is it going to happen that he can't decide between the two of them because he's legit in love with both of them? And they're like, we'll be together. And the three of them all just go off and live a poly existence. And I personally would be in support of it.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't want JoJo to be stuck with Lauren.
Lauren, no. I mean, like, ultimately, JoJo can do better and has
JoJo
done better.
JoJo and Jubilee, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Love that. Love that.
They let her give the, like, at the actual proposal, she gave the longest speech. And they let her do the entire speech. And it's like, I love you. I love you with my whole heart. I trust you. And then when he goes,
it sucked. And then you'll notice that on her season, when she was the Bachelorette, she did not allow the person that she like he started talking and she was like, stop.
Yes, because she's a kind person.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I have to say, he clearly was in love with JoJo, but he wanted to pick the girl he couldn't believe he got. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine for he and Lauren, it was probably hard to get past. Like, he was gutted. Watching how he felt when JoJo walked away, it was like, he clearly, I agree with you, he knew he made a mistake. He loved her. They were happy together. They were so cute.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't emotionally intelligent enough to understand what he had just done, but I think he knew enough to know that he had felt great despair, because even when he was then, Like, you would think it'd be this thing where it'd be really hard to say goodbye to the runner-up, but you would then, like, have a second win because you know you're going to, like, start your life with the winner who you actually are in love with. But it looked like, never got over doing that to her.
No. Right. He looked fucked up from it. He really looked fucked up from it. And I felt watching her get interviewed from her, everybody's backdrop looks the same, but her house looks the grandest of everybody's
She has a big house.
She's got a huge house.
Well, she was she was a lead. You know what I mean? She probably has bachelorette money. She probably has like real endorsement money.
She's also half Persian, comes from some money. I've seen her house. All Persians know where other people's Persian money comes from. We're all aware.
I love, too, that there's... I also like that they actually had a... They had a Persian bachelorette and never really acknowledged it.
I know. That was huge for me, and I was like...
Well, that's because she was white passing, and they at the time probably felt nervous about saying she was
Pregnant. Right.
Because, like, you'd be shocked, like I'll mention that I have Iranian friends to, like, basic white older people, and they'll be like, what? Like, it's like a crazy thing to them to even mention the word Iran.
Because in their imagination, it's, like, a brown person who, like, is flinging spices at you and shit.
Yeah.
Like, the most racist conception of, like,
it was funny because when they went to her hometown in her season, or no, I guess it was this season, her mom was just, like, her Persian-ass mom kept being like, she's a princess. Yeah. Like, she was just chugging champagne.
She's a princess. She needs to be treated like a queen.
She was drinking champagne straight from the bottle, and I was like, this is every family member I've ever had. Just like, treat her well. And you're like,
inshallah, she wins the bachelorette. She bring nice man home. I cook for him.
Her brothers ran. They wore giant cowl neck sweaters, and they kissed her on the mouth and were like rude to him. They both kissed her right on the lips, and then were immediately awful to him.
you guys should
come to a real season where it's fun.
No, okay. I'm telling you, are you going to do the Rachel season?
Yeah. Do you want to? I mean, this one. Yeah. You want to do it?
Yeah. I'll be back.
Okay. Do you want to do the Rachel season?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
When are they airing that?
Couple weeks.
Okay.
Not next week.
You're probably like interested in having other guests. So the ball's in your court.
No,
I'm just saying.
Me?
Like,
we would fucking. Are you crazy?
I would do the Rachel season.
We would love to have you for the Rachel season. Bowen, you don't have to, but we would love to have you again. But if you can't
handle
it.
I would talk about the Rachel season.
If you can't handle it, I understand. If you can't handle another viewing, I get it.
I just know that I am going to watch that in 2 weeks when it happens.
Yeah, so
if you need somebody.
We want you for whenever the Rachel. As soon as we know when the Rachel one is, it's yours.
Okay.
And it'll either be with Bowen or somebody else, depending on if Bowen wants to do it or not.
Depending on Bowen's availability.
We will not torture him.
Depending on my avail.
Okay, so then Lauren, so then he cuts JoJo.
Unreal.
And he says, I love Lauren, but I
could have been married to JoJo, which is had to feel like shit when Lauren saw that.
Yeah. And then she says, he's the last first kiss I ever wanted to have. You're my person. I love you. And then they got engaged. Last week, they didn't even show Caitlyn's getting proposed to by Sean. Like, I'm surprised they showed all of this. And then we see him now, and he's got his cute young lady that he slid into her DMs, and she's 25, and they're very cute. We found out that they don't sleep in a bed. They're saving each other for marriage, and they don't share a bed, allegedly.
Jesus. This is so antiquated. Like, it's just so crazy. It's like, I'm happy that the Bachelor franchise is finally, like, having a person of color lead, but can we please, like, get a fucking interesting lead? Like, Rachel Lindsay was a dynamic person, and you find out ever since her season ended, like, she's even better than she was on the season, actually. So, like, let's just, like, shake it up. Like,
Caitlin was great. Give us. Matt James looks really fucking hot. Like, he's.
He's certainly hot.
He's so hot.
He's super funny, too.
He seems fun.
On Instagram and stuff.
I'm down for Matt James. I think Claire kind of sucks. We're going to have to get through Claire's season. The only thing she has going for her is that she's 39. That's exciting.
I love that they chose a 39-year-old bachelorette. That rocks.
But I wish they chose a cooler one, but I can handle it.
I think she's, like, at this point... Ever since seeing her again on Winter Games, where she got into a fight with a German guy about a hot tub appointment.
They had an appointment for a hot tub that she didn't make.
And he's very German, and he was very upset by it. because Germans take everything so literally. But
hot appointment for hot tub.
He's like, if you make an appointment for the hot, and you miss the appointment.
If you say you have appointment with me for the hot tub, you must be there for the appointment for the hot tub.
Yeah, it was unreal. I will send you guys a link to the clip. But I think like her energy of like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, I like that she brings that sort of no-nonsense energy. And so I think she'll be good on this show where these dudes who are at this point may not get a paradise. So they're like, you know, if you're not going to win her heart, like, what are you really doing on there if you don't have a reason to like try and get Instagram followers? So I think it'll be an interesting season with her.
It's just, I mean, definitely they've had some moments where like, I guess like they think they've had like a hashtag girl boss moment. Like when Hannah was like, I fucked in a windmill. Like, when she finally took her space and said that she fucked Peter four times in the windmill.
Yes.
That was kind of cool. Like, that she had like a misogynist guy in the house that was like, if you've had sex with any of these other guys, like let me know now. And she was like, I absolutely have, and I would again and again and again.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Me too.
But
the girls
are
more fun, though. It's more fun for the women, and also sort of fun because the guys, there's weird bromances in the house. Like, the guys really fall for each other. I think Bachelorette's more fun than The Bachelor.
I would agree.
Mm. Will you help us pick a tweet of the week?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the name of the game. I'm going to tell you five or six tweets. We're going to narrow it down to two, and then we're going to pick the number one.
Okay.
This is from Chaz at Thorium Dragon. Going from van hippie to beauty queen is a Lifetime movie. Going from beauty queen to van hippie is a cry for help.
That's funny.
That's great funny. Okay, yeah. This is from, I don't know who it's from. I'll find out later. Biggest boner in batch history, Ben not picking JoJo, or that waterfall scene. Look at his boner.
Wait, really?
Oh, my God.
Let me make you big. Hold on. I have to see this.
Here, I'll text it to you guys as well.
I can see the boner.
Look at
honestly, I get it, though. He's probably horned up. And honestly, like,
she was hot in the bikini.
She was so hot. That's the thing, too. That was JoJo, right?
That was JoJo.
To me, she was, like, way, 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 way more desirable than anyone else.
She's so hot.
In the top section. It's like that. I mean, she obviously was the pick for me.
Anna, who did that tweet?
Oh, it's from Bachelor Archive.
Oh! Oh, that's exciting. Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is from Liz Tunkle. Do you guys see it in your... Did she text you?
Yeah.
Here we go. Number three, Liz Tunkle at Jizzy Lizzy Labs. Does any woman who's been on the show not have Instagram face now?
Wow. Okay. So we're all clocking the same
thing.
Yeah.
This is also from Jizzy Lizzy Raps. Would love to be a fly on the wall at the Bachelor villain support group that Olivia apparently runs.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
And this is, Anna, you're going to have to tell me who this is from. Ben looks like he's about to ring some doorbells and tell people about Joseph Smith.
Mormon fantasy boy.
Okay. So I'm going to narrow it down to. Let's see. What do we enjoy? Do we like boner? Do we like van hippie?
I like van hippie.
I like van hippie and boner. I think those are the two.
Or face, Instagram face. We'll go van hippie and boner. Okay, so this is from Chaz at Thorium Dragon. Going from van hippie to beauty queen is a Lifetime movie. Going from beauty queen to van hippie is a cry for help.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is from Bachelor Archive. Hey, Bachelor Archive. We're so grateful for you. You might want to check. We think that your website might be giving everybody viruses by accident. I think just beware. There's some crazy ads that keep infecting. You may not know it because I know your heart is pure. That somebody might have come in and put some weird spyware in.
Spoiler your computer alert.
But we love you, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. So this is from Bachelor Archive. Biggest boner in batch history? Ben not picking JoJo or that waterfall scene? Do we want biggest boner in history, or do we want van hippie? Bowen, van hippie or boner?
Van hippie.
I'm going to also go van hippie. We'll let Matt be the decider. Or do you want to go first, Matt? Matt, you go.
I mean, I was going to pick the boner one because I feel like I really just want this show to sort of get to it and become porn, so this is the closest way that it has. But I appreciate that you guys like the comedy of Van Hippie.
Katie, Van Hippie or boner?
Boner. You know I'm always a fan when we can see their boners.
Katie loves a boner. Okay, she loves to see a boner.
I mean, I want the gratification.
Okay, Anna, so that's a tie. We've got two for boner, two for Van Hippie. Anna.
Ooh, I think I'm going to go with boner because it's so funny to me. Like, it's guys. So obvious.
All right, Bachelor Archive is
transmitting viruses at a time like this. It's terrible. I cancel Bachelor Archive.
But we love Bachelor Archive, and we just want them to go in and maybe kick out. We don't think they're doing it on purpose.
I know.
So they need to get their cookies together.
They just got
to
get their cookies together because they might be giving everybody viruses. But you did get the tweet of the week, Bachelor Archive, with your biggest boner in batch history, Ben not picking JoJo, or that waterfall scene. You guys, like us on iTunes. You can email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com. This is from Allie Deweese. I think I'm saying that wrong. Deweese. The subject is keep doing the Lord's work. Hey, I just wanted to say, will you accept this rose has quickly become one of my top favorite podcasts. I started listening after hearing Arden on Almost Famous during Peter season and have been binge listening during the quarantine. I often find myself laughing out loud at the commentary and bits. The comedic chemistry between the guests on every episode keeps me coming back. I'm 25, so I grew up at exactly the right time to have seen many, many episodes of Criminal Minds, iCarly, Drake and Josh, those couple of episodes of Psych Arden was on, and Supernatural. It warms my heart that so many familiar faces from my childhood and adolescence are actually real-life friends when the comedy acting day is done. Also, I'm not sure if you guys talked about this or noticed this already, but I noticed during Caitlin's throwback episode, the painting in Chris Harrison's office looks like an abstract of the Texas state flag, which makes it a million times more tacky and annoying than if it were just any run-of-the-mill ugly rainbow painting. Thanks for making me laugh during these apocalyptic scary times and making your listeners feel like friends. Hope you all are staying safe and healthy. From Allie. P.S. I have to admit, I've been wanting to listen to previous seasons of the pod, but Jerry is so hilarious. I'm nervous it wouldn't feel the same without him, although I'm sure it still would be amazing. Allie, that's such a great email. I would recommend going... God, Aaron Foley is so funny. Maybe start with JoJo's season. I feel like JoJo's season was a really funny season, and we really hit our stride. Do you guys agree on that, Anna and Katie?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Aaron Foley was on par, and we had funny ones with Steve Heitner. I feel like that's a good one to go to. And I did not notice that it looked like an abstract painting of the Texas state flag. That, what do you guys think of that?
I didn't notice, but that's, I'm going to have to go check it out.
All right. This one's from Jessica Hamm, and her subject is Puzzle Me, Please. That's coming up in 2 weeks, and I hope you get it, Jessica. Hi, will you accept this rose, family? I started listening in early 2018 when I started a new job, my first time being in an office with all ladies. The office chatter indicated I needed to catch up on all things Bachelor, so I dove in. This podcast is the highlight of my studying. I love every single one of the voices that comes on. One of my roommates who doesn't have a car often asks me for rides, and I force her to listen to y'all, and she's so hooked that she's now joining me on Mondays for the Goat Bachelor festivities. Most of my favorite shows are on Bravo, so I'm thrilled that you're doing Real Housewives of New York on Patreon. I used to be a hotel banquet manager pre-pandemic, but seeing as group of 10 to 500 are discouraged, I don't have any expectation of getting back to work soon. I was going to cancel my Patreon membership to try to save money, but now I think it is a necessary cost. To be able to hear my favorite funny pod friends talk about yet another new show I'm addicted to is 100% worth it. P.S. My BFF and I think I'm a Sonia, and she's a pre-this-season Dorinda. I'm Sonia because I don't often get drunk, but when I do, I go hard. I'm also a bit of an artsy emotional train wreck, if I'm being totally honest. And she pre-ordered my book from a Black-owned bookstore in D.C. And we are, yes, Jesse, I finally got the puzzles. So we're going to be mailing. We have really cute tote bags. It's next week. We're going to give away a tote bag. Anna, you've seen them. The Little Miss Little Pumpkin totes.
Yes, they're adorable.
They're high quality, too. And then the puzzle. Anna, can we put a picture of the puzzle up on our Facebook page today? I don't want to put it on my Instagram because I'm going to be sending it out to people and I don't want them to see it yet. But I would love our listeners to be able to see what they're hoping to win, because it's so I made these puzzles that I'm gonna like send out with the book in September to like Chelsea Handler gave me a quote and Amy Schumer gave me a quote, so I'm gonna send them all like a book and a puzzle, and so as like a surprise. So that's, I'm not gonna put it on my Instagram page, but this will be the same puzzle that they're getting. I made a couple extra puzzles to do giveaways to you guys, and they're pretty fucking crazy, aren't they, Anna?
I love them. I want one, too.
I have one for you. You can have a puzzle. It's me and mittens, and it says, meet the authors. And I'm dressed up. I've recreated my sixth grade photo, and I have braces made, and I look like Barb from Stranger Things. I look crazy. I look actually like I'm mentally ill. Would you agree with that assessment, Anna?
I would never say that. I think you are living your best life.
You know, I really am. Things are so good. I'm crazy busy, you guys. So, again, you can email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com. Also, we love your we love when you like us and leave us messages, leave us reviews on iTunes. Here's one that's so fun that we got recently. It is 5 stars. 1,000 words are worth a picture. And it's from MDMDMDM. I'm from Iran, and I find the culture of The Bachelor somewhat confusing. There are so many moments when I'm thinking, this can't be real life. This sounds so scripted. Then again, as an outsider, I can't be sure. But your podcast has provided me a window into unfiltered and authentic thoughts on the show. You are a delightful social butterfly who brings interesting groups of people together to discuss the episodes, and I love to hear all the different perspectives, specifically Jerry Trainor's, whose first impressions of The Bachelor echoes a lot of mine. I wouldn't lose sleep over missing the show itself, but I stay up to listen to your podcast. Thank you so much, Anna. I mean, Anna's from Iran. Did you know that her parents are Iranian? Or do you know that? Did you
find,
when you watch The Bachelor, Anna, are you like, when you first watched it when you were younger, I mean, I know you grew up in the U.S., but did you find any things that was like, wow, was there any culture shock or anything versus the world you've grown up in?
I mean, I knew, like, I was like, this is the American way of, like, dating. Like, in Iran, it's so different how you, like, get together with a guy. I mean, I think it's a little bit more, the younger you are, like, the generations, it's more maybe a little bit closer to what we do in America. But for the most part, like, you basically, your parents meet, you can't date in Iran is the situation. So you would never see something like this. And so, like, growing up,
what would your cousins think of this show?
I mean, they would watch it because, you know, westernized culture is big there.
Right.
But, like, you wouldn't ever think, like, I could go on a show like that.
Right.
Like, it's not, I would never in my life think that I could go on a show like that.
Me neither.
Because, one, my parents would kill me. They'd be like, no, absolutely not. You can't date a guy who's dating all these women. Also, like, you can't be showing that much skin on TV. And,
right. Oh,
God, you can't be, like, putting yourself out there. Someone's going to turn the evil eye on you because you're not being humble enough. And you're like, oh, my
right.
God, there's so much going on. Like, culturally, not possible.
Turn the evil eye.
But I have when I've been in Iran, I'll watch, like, Turkish programming, and they have, like, in Turkey, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot more westernized, or at least it used to be before Erdogan, they have, like, Turkish dating shows like this that I would watch.
That's
because there's, like, nothing else on that I could watch. So I'd be like, okay, well, they seem to be doing it where all the women and men live in a house together and, like, date each other. And that's, like, even wilder to me because it's in Turkey.
Well,
but, yeah, not commonplace in Iranian culture.
I love that we can help be a window. If it makes you feel any better, I grew up here, and my great grandparents were sort of like, I'm like third, like, I still can't even imagine, there is no part of my upbringing, I cannot imagine ever fitting in at the mansion. I have fantasies of cloning myself and trying to, like, just put myself through the experience of it as, like, a social science experiment, but there's,
yeah.
I so don't, it is so far removed from the world that I personally grew up in, I cannot imagine anything more. I mean, I just knew ladies who cleared acres of brush with their bare hands and drove tractors and, you know, just wore chapstick and dungarees. And so it's a different world, but it's so fun. And we're so glad you're here. So thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good to know there's another Iranian listening.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Guess what? If you buy my book, Little Miss Little Compton, and you send in a screen grab of your receipts starting today, every week I am doing giveaways. This week I'm doing a T-shirt. Next week I'm doing a Little Miss Little Compton tote bag. I have Meet the Authors puzzles coming up. The person getting a T-shirt today is Holly Harrell, H-A-R-L-E. Holly, you just won a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Matt Rogers, what do you have to promote? Where can people find you, my precious treasure?
Wow. You guys can listen to Bowen and I's podcast called Las Culturistas. We are here on iHeartRadio, presented by Big Money Players, and it comes out every Wednesday. And you can follow me at Matt Rogers, though, T-H-O, on Twitter and Instagram, my two social media platforms of choice.
Bowen Yang, what do you have to promote? Where can people find you?
I have nothing to promote except my podcast that I co-host with Matt Rogers called Las Culturistas on the Big Money Players Network. What'd you say?
It's so good. It's such it's so fun. It's so funny.
We had so much fun with you when you came on.
Oh my God. It was such a joy. Was Parvati everything you wanted her to be and more?
Parvati was wonderful.
She was
I don't even watch Survivor. I just know about your love from your podcast, how much you were so excited she was coming on.
And she was so excited.
It was
everything
you wanted. Great. Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
That's it.
Anna, Tana, Katie, where can people find you?
I'm at Anna Hosea on Twitter, and yes, check out Las Culturistas.
Yay! she's our producer, too.
And Anna and I, if you're like, hey, we want more Anna and Arden, on Patreon right now, we are redoing two shows. Not one, but two. You get two for your money. You get Real Housewives of New York, and you get Bachelorette New Zealand that has not one, but two bachelorettes on it. It has a mole. It has a chocolatier stripper. It's just so much to. You're really missing out if you're not if you're not listening and watching. Katie Levine, where can people find you?
KT_money on Twitter and Instagram.
And guys, adopt pets. The shelters are full right now, so and all the pets get scared during fireworks season. So it's a good time to be careful of your pets going outside.
Or foster if you can't adopt.
And I'm at Ardemarine, ArdenMyrin on Instagram. And don't forget to go to Batch Diversity and sign their petition so we can have a more interesting show. All right, Matt Bowen. I can't wait to break down Rachel Lindsay's season with at least one, if not both of you.
Stay tuned.
I consider you my new friends. You are the most precious American treasures. Thank you so much for giving me your Monday nights and your Tuesday afternoon.
We love
you. We love you.
Everybody be kind. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Bye.
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 Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to get all up in you tonight. It feels so good. I just got one little question for you, girl. Will you accept this role?
You know what I will accept? I'm going to risk it.
Oh, will you accept this rose into your world?
So horny. I'm just as horny as that waterfall. That was a legitimately big boner. I'm not going to act like it was.
Will you accept this rose into your world?
Bye! She's a princess. She needs to be treated like a queen. Bye!
Will You Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.